रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पतये नमः। सुंदरकांड चैप्टर नंबर 1। मारुति क्रॉसेस ओवर टू लंका। हैविंग बीन दस इंपेल्ड टू एक्शन बाय जांबवान, आंजनेय डिजायर टू सीक फॉर द वेयरअबाउट्स ऑफ सीता इन द रीजंस फ्रीक्वेंटेड बाय हेवनली चारणर्स। सीता हु वाज स्पिरिटेड अवे बाय रावण। He stood alone in his boundless might to brush away the obstacles that would bar his way. He resolved within himself to achieve a feat that none would ever dream of. With head and shoulders upraised, he shone even like the bull at the head of its herd. He paced about all joyfully over the heights of the Mahendra mountain, carpeted with the soft grass of emerald hue that glistened like crystal waters. The mighty lord of monkeys, matchless of intellect, frightened off the birds around, crashed through the dense woods and put to flight the wild beasts that made it their home. Even as the lordly monarch of the woods in the fullness of his strength and vigor. The mountain was adorned with curiously shaped streaks and veins of ore, black, red, and white in hue. It was a favorite resort of countless elephants ever in rut, and of the heavenly yakshas, kinnaras, gandharvas, and pannagas, who, taking forms at will, disported themselves on its heights in all their finery. And, like a huge elephant splashing about in the cool waters of a broad lake, Anjaneya roamed about on its slopes. Then he raised his clasped hands in reverence to the Lord of the day who taught him all that he knew. To Indra, the Lord of the Celestials, who was the founder of one of the schools of grammar that he had learned. To his father, the Lord of Air. To Lord Brahma, who loaded him with rare boons of might and power. And at last to the elementals that ranged the worlds of the gods, and he saluted them in spirit and prepared to start. Facing the east, he once again rendered deep reverence to the Lord of Air who brought him into the world. Then Maruti of matchless skill decided to search in the south and accordingly expanded his form. His friends, the monkey lords, gazed at him with wonder. He firmly resolved to cross the trackless watery waste and grew apace to secure the highest interests of Rama, even like unto the Lord of the waters at times of the conjunction of the sun and the moon. Space could not limit his growing form. Desirous of taking a flying leap over the sea, he pressed the lofty mountain with his hands and feet. And it shook to its very roots for an hour or so. His dense woods shed their tribute of many-hued flowers upon him. Mahendra was entirely hid under it and looked like a mountain built of flowers from which the covetous winds wafted rare perfumes. The lofty hills, suppressed by Maruti of inconceivable might, poured forth its torrents of waters, even like unto a huge elephant in rut. Crushed by the tremendous weight of Maruti's gigantic body, it showed forth its veins of ore of the color of gold, silver, and black unguent. Blocks of rocks were hurled from it far and wide, mixed with the ores of Manosila, even like clouds of serried smoke from a burning fire. The denizens of its numerous caves were crushed flat by the mountain under the weight of Maruti and rolled and howled all around in a very disagreeable manner. Earth, air, the waters, the forests, everything around was filled with a hideous roar. The fierce serpents that lay in its deep holes spread their broad hoods, adorned with lines resembling the feet of Vishnu, and grew mad with pain and fury. They ejected their cruel and fiery venom and bit at the rock savagely, which, blazed by the consuming poison, shivered to atoms. The rare and priceless herbs and roots of occult and wonderful properties were all powerless as antidotes. The hermits that had their homes on the mountains abandoned it, for they decided that fierce elementals were blowing it to pieces. The Vidyadharas that disported themselves on its slopes rose aloft with their women and sought safer haunts. They left behind them empty drinking salons littered with gem-crusted vessels of gold filled with mead, honey and other rare drinks and foods, curiously flavored preparations of meat, shields made up of compressed ox hides and gold-hilted swords and daggers. The broad and beautiful eyes, lovely as a white lotus, were through frequent potations now red like the lotus of that hue. Their bodies were decorated with curious patterns wrought of red sandal and flowers. Celestial maidens adorned with tinkling anklets, bracelets, garlands and armlets stood on high with their lovers, the lords of the Vidyadharas, and viewed from the lofty stations in the skies the Mount Mahendra, thus undergoing the pangs of dissolution and destruction before its time of Pralaya. It afforded them a nice change to display their superhuman powers. Then the great sages, the Charanas and the Siddhas, that graced with their presence the clear empyrean, said to themselves, "This Anjaneya, the son of Vayu, huge of body even as a mountain peak, has decided to take a flying leap across the sea, hitherto impassable to any. Surely he has planned to perform some wonderful deeds, impossible to others on the other side, all for the sake of his beloved Lord Rama and his friends, the monkeys." This drew the attention of the Vidyadharas to the mountain and to Marathi, who stood there in his peerless might. He shook his bristling hair. He rocked himself to and fro like a huge mountain about to spring. He roared frightfully like the surcharged rain clouds, and he waved aloft his long round tail covered with thick growth of fur, even as Garuda, the lord of birds, snatches up a huge sea serpent and whirls it round in sheer sport. He was storing in himself enough energy and power to take him over to Lanka. His splendor and might grew apace. He pressed upon the earth firmly with his hands, hard like the bolts of fortress gates. He contracted his loins, bent his legs, hands and neck a little, and thus grew in himself the required energy, fortitude and strength. He cast his eyes over the route he was to take for many a mile. He gazed at the sky thoughtfully and restrained his life breaths in his heart. He based himself firmly upon his feet, bent back his ears, and on the verge of taking his aerial flight, the mighty monkey turned to his comrades and said, "The fiery shaft shot by the golden bow of my lord Rama wings its flight unobstructed with the speed of my father Vayu. Even so will I shoot over to Lanka, ruled by the wicked Ravana. Should I fail to find Lady Janaki over there, I will, without abating my speed, fly over to the world of the gods. If I cannot come upon her even over there, I will go back as in sport and drag over here the ruler of the Rakshasa's trust like a fowl. I will not return here without my purpose achieved and without bringing back the Lady Sita. Failing which, I will root up the cursed island with its dread lord and throw it over here." He spoke these words of comfort and cheer to his friends, rose aloft gaily from the mountain, and regarded himself as equal to Garuda, the monarch of the feathered tribe. The speed that he started with uprooted the lofty trees on the mountain, and he sprang after him as if loath to stay behind. The wind rushing through his thighs dragged along with it in the sky the trees and the intoxicated cranes upon them and the blown flowers that covered them. Even as the dear friends and kinsmen that accompany for a while on his way, one that goes on a long journey, the trees followed him on his path for a while. Like the battalions that go where the king leads, the lofty trees, shattered by his speed, ran after him for a pace. hit by those leafy trees in full blossom, Marathi shone like a huge mountain. Even as the mountains that trembled at the sight of their dread enemy Indra and hid their lofty heads in deep waters, the heavy trees fell into the sea after him and sank forthwith. Marathi, like a huge cloud bank, looked like a lordly mountain paved with bright fireflies through the garment spread over him of varied cute flowers, shoots and buds. The speed that dragged them along in his path decreased gradually and they fell into the sea, scattering far and wide their flowery tribute, even like the friends that returned with streaming eyes and heavy chests after they had accompanied for a while a dear one who goes abroad on a long journey. The waters for many a mile around, covered thick with light flowers of various hues, transformed it into a blue vault of the sky, glittering with bright stars. Marathi shone like a huge cloud rising up into its lofty skies, with the chained lightnings flashing through its body, for the rare flowers shed by his matchless speed resembled the heavens in its glory of the galaxy of stars. Like huge serpents with five heads, he looked as he sprang aloft from the mountaintop with his hands stretched out before him. The sea in front of him rapidly diminished in length through his amazing speed of flight. He seemed as if he drank it up and would next swallow the sky itself. As the monkey hero proceeded on his airy route, his round, tawny eyes blazed like lightnings, or like huge fires on the mountaintops, or like the sun and the moon rising together on the horizon. His red face and red nose shone like the orb of the sun covered with the bright red twilight. His long and thick tail looked like the banner of Indra raised aloft as he coursed through the sky. With his teeth of dazzling white, Anjaneya in the midst of the circle of his tail resembled the Lord of Day in his bright periphery. The root of his tail was of bright red, like the red ores shining through the clefts of shattered mountainsides. As the veteran monkey crossed the sea, the wind rushing through his sides roared frightfully like angry clouds. It gave him the appearance of a huge long-tailed meteor that flashes through the sky from north to south. Of lofty stature, the son of Anjana dashed from the north to south direction, even like the sun in its annual flight, or like a huge elephant with broad bands wrapped around his long body. His shadow fell on the waters dimly a long way ahead, while his form loomed on high, even as the hull of a ship beneath the water, while its sides and masts and sails rise aloft, borne by the gale. All along his course over the waters, they whirled in eddies and foam, and the deafening roar through the mad speed of his airy flight, even like one under the grip of a dread epilepsy. The mountainous waves were dashed aside by the force of the wind as his breast cleaved a path through the air. Thus did the lordly monkey course with the speed of thought over the trackless waters. The gales of rain clouds joined hands with the gales sprung off his frightful speed and churned the ocean waves to a terrible roar. The mountainous billows were dragged after him by his speed, so that the messenger of Rama seemed as if he were drawing boundary lines between the earth and the sky. He passed over the waves that rose one after another like the huge Meru, Mandara and the other lordly mountains, even as if he were there on a mission to take careful count of them. The sea raised up by the terrible speed of his flight resembled a boundless rain cloud that hangs in the sky in autumn. Like the body of a man gradually coming into view as he divests himself of his garments, the sea showed forth to view its creatures, the whale, the crocodile, the shark and the tortoise. Now the waters which covered them were drawn aloft. huge sea serpents in the depths beheld the monkey lord as he coursed through the sky in his matchless speed and trembled in affright under the impression that they were being paid a visit by their pitiless foe Garuda. His shadow lay gracefully on the waves, 30 yojanas in length and 10 yojanas in breadth. It followed him faithfully, even like a bank of clouds. Maruti flew through the pathless sky, devoid of any support or of any contrivance of yore. The waves across his path lay banked up like a huge vessel of water. He took his way through the haunts of birds, even like Garuda, their lord. He passed through the region of clouds, dashing them aside like the lord of air. White, red, blue, and yellow shone the clouds of various shapes and shades, and Maruti, as he passed through them, gave one the idea of the moon treading her way through them. His phenomenal flight over the trackless waste of waters compelled the admiration and homage of the gods, the asuras, and the gandharvas, who showered on him flowers of celestial fragrance. The Lord of Day touched him not with his piercing rays, bound as he was on an errand of his master, Sri Rama. The Lord of Air blew cool and sweet upon his son to remove fatigue and weariness. The great sages poured forth their praise of his valor and prowess and were echoed by the gods and the Gandharvas in no slight measure. Verily, the monkey hero took it as lightly and easily as a walkover, his rapid flight through the viewless air, a feat that brought forth shouts and acclamations of joy and wonder from the witnessing Nagas, Yakshas, Dikpalas, Rakshasas, Vibhutas, and Garudas. Then the Lord of Waters bethought himself of how to pay honor and reverence to the royal race of Ikshvaku, to which he was mightily indebted. Said he to himself, "Should I fail in bestowing help and hospitality to this Lord of Monkeys, Hanuman, the finger of scorn will be ever pointed at me. For I was brought into existence by the Emperor Sagara of the line of Ikshvaku. And this Maruti is a messenger of Rama, the best and mightiest of that kingly line. It becomes me not to stand by and see that he sinks under fatigue and weariness. So I must contrive that he rests here a while and crosses over the sea in no time." This decision of his proved of untold benefit to himself. He called out to the mountain Mainaka that lay hid in the waters with its peaks of gold and said, "My dear friend, I hope you have not forgotten that Indra has placed you here as a barred fortress gate to prevent the asuras from coming up from the netherworld. Whenever they take it into their heads, the mighty demons, to force their way upwards, you stand in their path, covering the entrance to the netherworld with your huge bulk. Besides, you have it in yourself to expand without limit, above, below, and on all sides. Hence, I depute to you on this mission. O Lord of Mountains, bestir yourself. Hanuman, the monkey of peerless might, comes here flying through the air straight over you, bound on a quest connected with Lord Rama. I am ever on the alert to be of some service to the race of Ikshvaku and will not miss this rare chance of doing my very best for the servant of theirs. Those monarchs are ever objects of my worship and reverence, and for that very reason you too are bound to serve and honor them to the best of your might. For this ocean has been fashioned by them, and you have taken refuge in it from the foe that thirsted for your life. Moreover, you have not forgotten the benefactor who brought you here, even the Lord of Air, and this Anjaneya is his darling child. Now, see ye not that it lies upon you to render every help and assistance to him? So, conduct yourself accordingly. Let us not be found slothful and belated. Should we fail to give effect to our good intentions in time, the great and the noble ones will ever hold us in contempt and be angry with us. So rise up from your depths. Induce Anjaneya to rest upon your peaks a while. He is our honored guest, worthy of all reverence, and the foremost of monkeys besides. O monarch of mountains, resplendent with your peaks of gold and ever honored by the gods, let Maruti rest himself a while upon you. He will cross over to Lanka the more quickly. Bethink yourself of the tenderness and pity that fills the heart of Hanuman towards Sita. Forget not that she has been torn rudely from the side of a beloved lord and placed in durance vile in Lanka. Bear in mind the inevitable fatigue and weariness that Anjaneya must feel, and please do as I have suggested to you. Menaka listened to it, and like the lord of day rising aloft from the midst of cloud banks, crowned with his thousands of rays of gold, he emerged in no time from his watery bed with his wooded slopes, creepers, shrubs and flowers. Coming up from the midst of the billows, he exposed to view his golden peaks, the resort of Kinnaras, Uragas and other denizens of the higher worlds. Verily, he seemed to the observant eyes of the upper world, even as a lord of light rising up in the blue sky. Higher and higher he rose, until his head clove the cloud banks and stayed not its course. His golden peaks were naturally of great splendor, and they gave him the appearance of a mountain paved with many a sun. Anjaneya cast his eyes on Mainaka that suddenly rose up before him with nothing to bar its course, and said to himself, "Ah, this is the first obstacle in my way." It rose and rose endlessly, as it were. But Maruti stayed not his wonderfully rapid flight for it. Even as a lord of air scattering afar the thin clouds, he lightly brushed aside with his mighty chest that monarch of the mountains. In his turn, Mainaka gauged the speed and the might of that monkey hero and was overcome with joy and surprise. Then he came out of the mountain and, in the guise of a mortal, stood before Anjaneya in the sky and spoke to him in words of love and admiration. "O best and foremost of monkeys, you have laid yourself to accomplish what no one had dared or will ever dare to do. Rest yourself a while on my peaks. This watery waste was brought into existence by the ancestors of Lord Rama, and now you are bound on his quest. Hence the lord of the ocean renders you reverence and worship. Gratitude to the benefactor is the ageless law of the world, and we, desirous of following it, offer humble hospitality and pray you to accept it. For the lord of the ocean has specially deputed me to approach you with this request. This mighty monkey has decided to cross over 100 yojanas of water and comes towards us. Let him rest a while on your slopes and proceed thereafter strong and refreshed. So, please break your flight a while and rest your weary limbs upon me. The roots and fruits that grow on my slopes are pure, sweet and fragrant. Partake of them, throw off your weariness and resume your flight. There is yet another bond between us, well known through the three worlds and approved of by the great and the good. I regard you as the best and foremost of the monkey world, who are matchless in speed and valor. Even an ordinary guest is worthy of respect and reverence of all right-thinking men. It goes without saying that to one who sees into the heart of Dharma, you deserve the greatest honor and respect possible. For you are the darling son of Vayu, one of the foremost of the rulers of the Shining Ones. What is more, you are his peer. Reverence paid to you counts as reverence paid to him, and to you, for whom Dharma has no secret, this needs no saying. So it behooves me to offer worship to you. There is yet another reason for it. During the Krita Yuga, mountains had wings and flew all over, above and below, with the speed of Vayu. They were a source of danger and fear to the gods, the sages and all creatures, lest they might descend upon them at any moment and crush them to death. The Indra grew angry with them and smote their wings away with his dread weapon, Vajra. I saw him rushing upon me with his raised vajra to cut me to pieces and gave myself up for lost. Then the Lord Vayu, my noble savior, blew me with resistless force into the ocean, and therefore he stood between me and death, between me and mutilation, a living death. See ye not that he is my Lord, whom I should pay worship and reverence to for all time? So I am bound to offer you honor, his only son. This is the bond that binds us together. This is the best chance that we could ever hope to get for expressing in a feeble way the deep debt of gratitude we lie under to the Lord Vayu, I and the Lord Ocean. Accept this service and homage at our hands and gladden our hearts. Rest a while, accept honor, love and reverence from us, for the very sight of you fills our heart with unspeakable joy. And to him replied Maruti, Lord of mountains, your sweet words give me inexpressible pleasure. I count it enough, this having blessed myself with the sight of you. This is, in my opinion, the sweetest welcome that you could give me. Let no feeling of regret or uneasiness cloud your heart, that I do not rest myself upon your hospitable slopes as you would have me do. For the time at my disposal is all too short for the work I have at heart. It spurs me on. Should I stay here as you desire, it is doubtful if I could reach Lanka before sunset. Besides, I have given my word to my mates that I will proceed upon my errand without breaking my flight anywhere. So Maruti touched Menaka affectionately and thereby accepted his hospitality, and with a glad heart and a smile upon his beautiful lips, he continued his flight through the air. Menaka and his friend, the Lord of the Ocean, gazed after him with affectionate eyes and sent their blessings to keep him company. Then Anjaneya left them far behind and rose higher into the realms of his father, the Lord Vayu. He looked down with fondness and affection upon the Mount Menaka below him and coursed through the clear sky with renewed vigor. His flight over the 100 yojanas of waters counts as the first of his redoubtable achievements. And his wonderful solution of the problem that was placed before him by Menaka is the second in the list. The gods, the siddhas and the mighty sages who were delighted witnesses of this feat lauded him to the skies. Indra was mightily pleased with Menaka and said, Mighty mountain, shining resplendent with your peaks of gold, you have pleased me in no slight measure by your behavior today. From this moment on, have no fear of me. Live on free of danger and dread. We were racked with terrible doubts whether Hanuman would faint and fall into the sea as he took his way across a broad expanse of waters. But the mighty hero seems to gather strength and speed as he goes, fearless and light-hearted. You rendered him timely help, and the precious service that you did to the servant of Lord Rama fills me with boundless joy. The words of the Lord of the Shining Ones put cheer and gladness into the heart of Menaka, for his dread foe was sweetly disposed towards him. He accepted wonderful boons of Indra and lived thereafter a life of ease and joy. Hanuman left the spot far behind him and sped on his course. Then the Devas, Gandharvas, the Siddhas and the sages approached Sudasa, the mother of the serpents, who shone like the noonday sun in her radiant glory and said, This monkey hero, the son of Vayu, is endowed with rare effulgence. He takes a flight through the realms of his father over the broad expanse of waters. Do you, for our sake, place an obstacle on your path? Your dreadful fangs and eyes darting flames of fire, your mouth wide as the heavens for us, and your huge bulk like the monarch of the mountains, combined with the form of a terrible Rakshasi, may, when you stand before him, take the heart out of him. For we would, once more, like to try his strength and mettle. Would he overcome you by strategy, or would he faint and give it up? Thus besought by the gods, Mother Surasa, assuming the huge and frightful form of a Rakshasi, stood in the middle of the ocean, barring the path of Hanuman. All creatures that beheld her quaked in sheer and abject terror. She shouted at him in tones of thunder, "The gods have sent you here today as a toothsome delicacy to stay my appetite for a while. I would even send you down my throat. Fall you therein of your own sweet will." To which replied Marathi, his head bent low in reverence over joined palms. Sri Rama, the son of King Dasharatha, had to sojourn for a while in the forests of Dandaka, and with him his brother Lakshmana and his beloved wife Sita. He was absent from his hermitage for some hours on business when Ravana, the king of the Rakshasas, who, out of malice, was ever on the watch to do him an evil, spirited away his beloved wife. "And Rama, my beloved lord, has sent me to take a message to Sita of matchless fame. Now that you are a citizen of his realm, should you not, in duty bound, help him to the best of your might? And is this the way you put it? Well, if you are so minded, I will even come back to you to appease your hunger after having taken news to Rama of the whereabouts of his beloved wife. You have my unbroken word for it." Thereat, Surasa laughed in contempt and said, "Ha ha ha ha, verily no one passes me without my consent. This is one of the powers that I have been gifted with. So I see no other way past myself except by going through my mouth, wherever it may take you." But Anjaneya heeded it not and was coolly proceeding on his way. Then Surasa, inwardly glad at his calm audacity, desired to test his strength and cried, nay, you shall proceed on your quest, but the way lies through my throat and not otherwise, for the four-faced one, even Brahma, has ordered me so." Withal, she opened her mouth wide and barred his path. Then Anjaneya showed signs of irritation and exclaimed, "Be it so, make your mouth large enough to give me an easy passage." Then he expanded his form to the extent of 10 yojanas. At once Surasa made her mouth 20 yojanas wide. Then Hanuman capped it by another 10 yojanas. Then Surasa was no whit behind and made it 40. Then Hanuman made a higher bid of 50 yojanas, and Surasa made one better and made it 60. Then Marathi grew 70 yojanas in width, but Surasa was not dismayed and beat him by 10 yojanas still. At last Hanuman showed himself 90 yojanas in extent, but Surasa was ahead of him and covered his huge form by hers extending over 100 yojanas. This was precisely what Marathi was waiting for. His cunning and tact made him come out ahead. For with lightning speed he assumed a very, very minute form and passed through her huge mouth like a needle dart through a deep cave. He caught the moment right, and with a tiny body like the thumb of a person, he passed through her like a flash of light and stood clear beyond her in the sky in all his glory and flushed with victory. "O mighty daughter of Daksha, the ancient patriarch, I lay my head at your feet in reverence. I have even obeyed your behests and I have passed through your mouth. I am none the worse for it, and your vow has in no way been violated. Allow me to go on a quest even to where Sita abides." And like the bright moon emerging from the dark cavernous jaws of Rahu, Anjaneya came out of the contest victorious. Surasa resumed her beautiful form and blessed him in tones of affection and amazement. "My beloved child, may your quest be fruitful, may your path be smooth. For to you is given to bring together Lord Rama and his noble consort, Sita." The whole creation hailed Anjaneya in acclamation for the third of his wonderful feats. Then Hanuman took his even course over the wide and trackless waste of waters ruled over by Lord Varuna and impassable to any other man or god. she resumed his frightful speed and flew through the clear expanse of sky, even like Garuda, the lord of the feathered tribe. It was the home of huge cloud banks, surcharged with refreshing showers. It was a favorite resort of the Patagas, the Vidyadharas, and of Airavata, the elephant, that guards one of the eight quarters of the earth. Lions, elephants, tigers, and other conveyances of celestial make roam there to be at service of the Patagas and the Uragas. Curious fires, equal in splendor and power to the Vajra of Indra or the fierce thunderbolts, flamed therein. The great and glorious souls that won the abode of the Shining Ones by the deeds of righteousness adorned it like the stars in a clear firmament. Chitrabhanu, the Agni so-called, makes it his home. Even he who takes to the respective gods the offerings of men in this world during their sacrifices, public and domestic. Planets, constellations, and the bright moon lent it their glory. The great sages, the Gandharvas, the Nagas, and the Yakshas resorted to it as a most likely meeting place. It was divided into innumerable subplanes, clear as the hearts of the good and pervading all around. Vishravasu and his Gandharvas might be met with there. The seven other elephants of the quarters make it their playground. The sun and the moon pass through it every day. A most holy spot, and is very much like a canopy or a first floor to this world of mortals. Of boundless extent, it was so fashioned by the divine architect. Great heroes and groups of Vidyadharas jostled one another there. Thus did Maruti, the son of Vayu, steer his course through his father's domains with no support whatsoever, even like the great Lord Garuda, even like a huge mountain with his broad and powerful pinions, keeping a careful and observant eye on everything around him. Then Simhika, a Rakshasi that dwelt there in the watery depths, beheld him wing his airy flight over her. She could take any form at will, and she expanded herself to a wide extent and drew Maruti to her by his shadow. For she rejoiced within herself and said, "It is a long, long time since anything of appreciable bulk and quality like this creature has passed my lips." But Maruti was taken aback and was a little confused. "Why? Someone or something stays my flight suddenly. I feel my energy and strength oozing out of me, like a huge ship brought to a standstill by a hurricane dashing against it. I find myself powerless to proceed." And out of curiosity, he looked around him and above and below most carefully, and caught sight of a huge creature standing out of the watery depths. "Ho, ho," cried he in great relief. "Is this the wonderful denizen of the sea against whom Sugriva warned me? I now recall his words that this hideous monster is endowed with boundless strength and power. It has in itself to draw to it by the shadow any object in creation. And I need not waste a doubt over it." Maruti, of matchless intellect, spotted her out at once as the monster Simhika, and his keen brain worked out a plan to defeat her almost on the moment. He expanded his form like a huge rain-charged cloud. Simhika made her mouth wide enough like the gates of hell. With a hideous roar of a thousand cloud banks, lightning lashed, she rushed at Maruti. Then he observed very carefully her huge body, wide mouth, hideous face, and the vital spots in her. Of measureless strength and adamantine vigor, he contracted his body to a minute point and sprang into her mouth. The Siddhas and the Charanas beheld with wonder and anxiety the feet of Hanuman vanishing into the dreadful jaws of Simhika, even as a full moon disappears into the mouth of Rahu. Anjaneya, with the speed of thought, hacked to pieces the vital spots in her body with his keen claws, and before she had time to make a move or to close her mouth, dashed out again. His compelling, rare courage and skill made it an easy task for him. He resumed his form and beheld Singhika writhing among the billows in the agonies of death, emitting frightful roars and hot blood ebbing away. The inhabitants of the worlds on high cried out in amazement and joy, "Marathi, frightful is the feat that you have achieved today. You have made short work of this horrible monster of inconceivable might. Proceed on your mission and come back safe and successful. Glory and happiness ever crown the endeavors of one who, like yourself, is endowed with keen, clear perception, unshaken fortitude, skill, and unerring insight into the heart of beings." And Marathi was glad at heart, for he felt assured that the success would crown his efforts now that he had bested Sudasa and Singhika, and like the Lord Garuda, he proceeded on his course. Thus he drew near to the shores of Lanka, and casting his eyes around, he beheld the other end of the course of 100 yojanas, the forests that clothed it in dim outline. Even in mid-air, his eyes noted the graceful woods that fringed the famous isle, the wooded slopes of Mount Malaya, the breakers ahead, the marshy grounds beyond, the rare and lofty trees around, and the rivers that took their tribute of waters from Mount Trikuta to the Ocean Lord. Then he bethought himself of this huge shape that blotted out the sky and earth like a large cloud. "It is folly to keep up this form of mine and this terrible speed when I go among the Rakshasas, for they will naturally be filled with surprise and apprehension and try to make me out, and that is what I cannot afford to risk. So like a son of wisdom who casts aside the clouds of doubts and darkness that lay heavy upon his soul, Anjaneya resumed his original shape. It called to an observer the mighty world drama of old, when Mahavishnu spread himself over the worlds as the Lord Trivikrama, and having drawn into himself the might of Bali, the king of the Asuras, he showed himself as Vamana. It was an easy task for him to resume any shape, large or small, fair or frightful. He achieved the tremendous feat of leaping over 100 yojanas of water unmolested by his foes. He reminded himself of his purpose at Lanka and reduced his vast dimensions accordingly. He touched ground on the peaks of Mount Suvela, whose head was lost in the clouds and which seemed hanging from the isle far into the sea. Marathi alighted on it, graced with pleasant groves and magnificent trees. He reached the end of his journey, crossed to the other shore, and from his lofty station on high, he observed Lanka on a peak of Mount Trikuta. He changed the form that he had kept till then, and his presence on the lofty mountain put to flight the beasts and birds thereon. He, out of his boundless might, flew over the vast sea, the home of Devas and Pannagas, and of waves mountain high. He alighted on the shores of Lanka and from afar beheld the capital of Ravana, glorious like Amaravati. Mangalam Kaushalendraya Mahaniya Gunabdaye Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.